Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, it's Dan Harris of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I just wanted to give everybody a little bit of a heads up with everything. Today, you're going to hear a segment with Dr. David Chow about some of the latest injury concerns as we head into a big draft weekend. After that, you're going to hear our final last-minute draft tips from me, Tags, and Yates. Now, during that segment, that was actually recorded first, and Yates and I gave our opinion on Alvin Kamara as the Tags and his injury, and Dr. Chow added some pretty interesting information with it that maybe changes a little bit of how both Yates and I are going to evaluate the situation. So I just want everybody to bear that in mind when they listen to that. I think if we heard what Dr. Chow was saying about it, we probably both would move him down a couple of spots in our ranking. I know I said that he is fourth coming into this weekend. For me now, he's being moved down to sixth. So I just wanted to give everybody a heads up that because the segment with Dr. Chow was recorded after the segment with Tags and Yates, that you might hear a little inconsistency with how Yates and I are discussing Alvin Kamara's injury. Enjoy the show. Hey there, everyone, and welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. Today, Tags, Yates, and I are going to be talking about some last-minute draft tips as we head into the final draft weekend of the season. But first, as we are going to do every Friday during the season, we are going to talk to Dr. David Chow. He is on Twitter at ProFootballDoc, and he's at ProFootballDoc.com. Dr. Chow, thanks for popping on today.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled. You guys are the big-time fantasy guys in the podcast, and I'm thrilled that you have me on. This year is actually my first time competing in a real fantasy league, and so maybe I'll get some pointers from you as well.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that online. We'll talk about it offline. But first, it's pretty exciting times for you as you get more involved in the fantasy sports world. I saw that you and FanDuel announced a partnership recently.
Yeah, that's one of the big things that came out of this off season. Obviously, the joining OutKick and then now this FanDuel. And this FanDuel is really exciting because I think they recognize the importance of injury, and be it for fantasy, daily fantasy, or even in states where there's legal wagering. And this partnership is, I'm not going to be making any picks. I'm just going to be giving injury information. And hopefully get the advantage to set your lineups or set up your wagers. And with this FanDuel partnership, it's also exciting is that we're still going to have lots of free content, but the website has been revamped at profootballdoc.com with injury index, field views, and where literally you could say, you know, it's the 49ers pass offense against the Rams pass defense this week. How does it grade out in terms of injuries? And if you sign up through FanDuel, you actually get a free 30-day look as part of the excitement of our partnership.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I mean, I've followed you on Twitter for several years, and your injury analysis is top-notch. So let's get into what we're looking at. It's a big draft weekend here for Fantasy Manager. So let's talk about one of the early picks, you know, has been typically going fourth in drafts, and that's Alvin Kamara. You know, you had a lot of news on him. You had the contract stuff and all that, but then everybody heard the word epidural. You hear the word epidural and everybody gets scared and think there is no way a football player will survive this season. It sounds like there might be a little confusion on it. So what do you think right now about Kamara's health?
Well, the first thing is, what's the truth, right? And, you know, in the preseason, you know that there is no injury reporting requirement whatsoever. Look, the Eagles have, and we can get to them too, they've gone to hockey designations, right? Upper and lower body. But they don't even need to say anything. And in terms of Alvin Kamara, the first word was, it was a stomach bug. And then there was a lot of reports of, you know, the contract. And then there was a report of an epidural, which did make things a little bit worrisome for me because that implies a disc issue. The question is how bad and what have you. And then I wrote the article at OutKick. And, you know, I did say, you know, Joe Mixon also had migraines and the four-year, $48 million contract seems to have cured it.
Right.
So who knows how bad the spine issue is or isn't. And then there was a clarified report of it was the SI joint. Now, what we don't know is it really the SI joint? Or is that what the agent or the team is putting out there? Or is it really still the epidural and they're just trying to turn it into the SI joint to send the mixed messages? I don't know what the truth is, right? And there's no video to rely on. If it's the SI joint, on a scale of 1 to 10, my worry level becomes a 1 or 2 at most. And the only reason it's maybe even a little higher is it really SI joint? But if it really is, it's pretty low. If it really was an epidural, that worries a lot higher. I'm not going to say 9 because it seems like he's doomed for whatever, but it's a 5-6. I mean, it rates up there. I mean, they can flare up at any time if it's really a disc issue. And so what's the truth? It depends on what the injury is.
Okay. All right. So it's obviously something then that fantasy managers coming into, you know, this weekend, this big draft weekend, it's something, you know, you probably want to drop them down at least a couple of spots then. And it's something that obviously do as much research as you can and try to find out. But a guy that we know a little bit more about is Jalen Reagor. He sustained, I saw, you know, it was kind of this vague shoulder injury. Then I heard it was a dislocated shoulder. And the early word is that it's a 4-week absence. Is that what you think that fantasy managers should be expecting? And if so, is he going to be like full go as soon as he gets back?
Yes, I do think 4-week return is reasonable, but with a significant asterisk. Once again, no video, but I tweeted and then wrote an article on it saying the way that it happened, it was on a pick and he tried to make a tackle and then left holding his wrist. There's no video, but in my mind, you know, that most likely is a shoulder dislocation, and that now has been confirmed. And when that happens, you tear the labrum. So your shoulder joint, without getting too medical, is less a ball and socket joint than a golf ball on a tee. And the labrum is the rim of the tee. So Jalen Reagor now has a chipped tee. You can still put the ball on the tee and golf with it, but the ball doesn't stay on quite as well. So what he's going to need to do is play with a strap or a harness. Others have done it. Kevin White, his rookie year with the Bears, was an example, and he did okay. It does limit the catch radius a little bit, but you can play through. But here's the problem. Tyrell Williams of the Raiders has a labral tear. I can't tell you whose labral tear was bigger. I haven't examined him or looked at the MRI. But he elected, or the team elected for him to have surgery, and he's done for the season. I think as it stands now, the Eagles intend to try and play him and have him come back in about 4 weeks. The question is, how effective will he be as a rookie with a little bit of a apprehension and a smaller catch radius? Maybe his talent will win out. Or maybe it will sublux or dislocate again, and then they'll end up with surgery. So yes, 4 weeks is a reasonable target. And the Eagles have traditionally tried to keep their guys, quote, alive and playing rather than have surgery. Look at DeSean Jackson last year. And obviously, in the end, that did not work out very well for them. I'm not being critical. I'm just giving you the landscape of what the Eagles' history has been. And in general, they're a team that doesn't necessarily like to be fully revealing. I mean, like we said, they've been listing a lot of people as upper body and lower body injuries, which is their right because they could say nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of where we've been with Miles Sanders, who was just a lower body injury. And then it's sort of said, well, maybe it's a hamstring. But let's get to our final guy here that I want to talk about. It's another shoulder injury, and that's Mike Williams. You know, last week, Coach Anthony Lynn made it sound like he might miss some time. Now things are sounding a little more optimistic. So what do you think as we head into draft weekend?
Well, I'm not ready to celebrate yet. And obviously, I have strong ties to the Chargers, and I respect Coach Lynn. But I'll tell you, I don't let what a coach says influence what I think about the injury, because coach's job is to spin the injury, coach speak, right? And when the Mike Williams injury happened, even without video, based on beat reporters' description otherwise, I thought he had an AC joint sprain or a shoulder separation. And I thought he had a reasonable chance to be ready week one. And even when Anthony Lynn said he didn't and was pessimistic, I stuck to my guns. And now the offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, is saying he's got a good chance for week one. We'll see what the truth is. I still think he's got a reasonable chance for week one. Is he 100% week one? Maybe not. But it certainly isn't going to be a long absence. And, you know, if you're a Mike Williams believer, I don't think this should change your mind.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that is honestly, it's all really good information. Again, big draft weekend right now, especially with Kamara. It's something that fantasy managers are going to want to think about. I look forward to talking to you every Friday so we can break down before the big games. Remind everybody again, I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but remind everybody again where they can find all of you and your great work.
ProFootballDoc.com. We're really excited about the new website. Check it out. And if you don't want to officially sign up yet, you should at least sign up and get the free preseason injury preview that gives a complete rundown on quarterbacks, running back, wide receiver, tight ends, all the injuries we didn't get to cover today. And that's completely for free. And sign up through FanDuel and get 30 days for free and decide if you like it or not. But we'll still have lots of free content here on your podcast at ProFootballDoc on Twitter and at OutKick as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Again, everybody really should follow you at ProFootballDoc on Twitter, because you provide incredible sort of injury analysis just based on video. You've been incredibly accurate. Again, I've been following you well before you ever got on this podcast. So I really look forward to talking to you each and every Friday, and we'll start next week. All right, let's get to now our last minute draft tips with Tags and Yates. With me are Tags and Yates. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. Guys, how are you this early morning as far as I'm concerned?
I'm tired.
Is it not going to be a great show when you have Dan coming in the room? Like, we were talking beforehand, and I think we got Feisty Dan today.
And we had Feisty Dan last episode, too.
Yeah, I look, we're heading into football season. It's always going to be Feisty Dan for like
the next just Dan at this point?
Yeah, this is
not
just
Feisty
Dan.
Dan. It's just Dan.
This is just Dan. Well, we are recording on the early side today, so which is fine. But I go to bed at like 2 or 3 a.m., so I'm basically running on fumes. But it's fine. We're going to crush it. Guys, we have our Listener League draft tonight, and in honor of that, we are going to be giving some last-minute draft day tips. Some are going to be kind of general, what you should be doing in your draft. Some are a little more specific to this year. But first, we had some news. Even though it's early, we've already had some news that broke right off the bat. Talk to me about Adrian Peterson being released. You know, you obviously had Darius Guice at the beginning of the year. Suddenly, this very crowded backfield in Washington is getting a little less crowded. So, I mean, does it move the needle for you on Antonio Gibson? Is Peyton Barber somebody that people need to be drafting late? Tags, what are your thoughts here on the Washington backfield?
I'm really curious as to your guys' projections on this, because it happened and Yates and I were talking and he said he updated his projections and that Antonio Gibson came in as RB25. I'm just a little hesitant to give him like a running back role. I think he's a different player. I don't think that he's a guy that you line up in the backfield and you hand the ball, you know, 150 times to. I just don't think that that's going to be the player that Antonio Gibson is in the NFL. It's not to say that it's not in the range of outcomes. But I think this is going to be a mess. I really do. I think Peyton Barber is going to be a guy that's going to get over 100 carries. I think it's possible that Bryce Love gets over 100 carries, because he's a guy that they felt it necessary to draft him in the fourth round. I know it's a new regime here, but they drafted him in the fourth round when there's so much red tape here with Bryce Love. He was a guy that back in 2017, if he had come out, he would have been a first round talent. And then he goes back to school. He has an injury that he plays through, lowers his stock, then misses his rookie season in the NFL. There's upside there with him that I could see Washington saying, let's see if there's something here with Bryce Love, because Peyton Barber, we know who Peyton Barber is at this stage of his career. We really do. Just not a very talented running back. He's just He's like a boring, even more boring Frank Gore. He's like a 35-year-old Frank Gore. Gibson is the upside play, and he's definitely the one that I want to own from this backfield, but I don't know if I can draft him over someone like, you know, like you start talking about the guys like Kareem Hunt. You talk about guys like Cam Akers. I don't think I could put him above those guys because those guys have guaranteed roles, whereas we have to project it for Gibson in a mildly unexciting offense, if that makes sense.
Where do you have him tagged? What's the number right now? I mean, I get that you have full, you know, authority to move it after this, since this literally just happened.
For sure. He's in a tier for me right now. He's in a tier of like 31 to 35 running backs. And I would consider him around the same range as someone like Phillip Lindsay or Latavius Murray. I think that these guys have standalone value as like a flex play. But if there was an injury, I think those guys have more upside. So I might lean towards those guys a little bit more if I'm just looking for a bench stash. Whereas if you're looking for a starter, I mean, I just don't think that Gibson is a safe pick right now. And that's why I'm not willing to say, yes, he's an every week starter in my fantasy lineup.
Okay, yeah, it's real quick. So you're a little higher on him then going forward.
Yeah, so it's dependent upon my projections, right? If you just run projections, I have him down for 122 rush attempts on the season, averaging 4.3 yards per carry, only 4 rushing touchdowns on the season. However, the value for him comes with 86 targets, 62 receptions, and 3 receiving touchdowns. So only 7 total touchdowns on the year, but he comes in at RB26. So if we are looking right now at just projection standpoint, then Gibson is someone that we should be looking at over guys like Cam Akers and Phillip Lindsay and the guys that Tags mentioned. However, there is like this is where the balance comes in with projections and rankings, is because projections would indicate that he could absolutely finish at that spot, maybe even higher. Because again, I only have him down for 4.3 yards per carry. He's explosive. He can absolutely average more around 5 yards per carry. A 72% catch rate. He's an excellent receiver. He can average more than that. And 8.5 yards per reception. With his breakaway speed, he can average more than that. So there's a realm of possibilities that he ends up higher than this by the end of the season. However, because he only has 77 total career college touches, it is a definite risk to rank him there. So I think looking at the landscape, I would probably still put Kareem Hunt ahead of him. And I do. I've moved Kareem Hunt to RB25. I have Gibson at RB26 now. So again, they're in the same range. However, I was talking to Pat Fitzmaurice, number 2 overall expert, you know, as far as our accuracy competition last year. I was talking to him on Twitter earlier, right before we started recording. He's got him at RB28. So this is going to be a messy backfield. You're looking at Peyton Barber, Bryce Love, J.D. McKissick too. McKissick's going to be on this roster. He's going to take away some targets out of the backfield. I don't have him projected for any significant work on the ground. Those three guys are just going to be a mess. I don't want to own any of them in fantasy football this year. The only one that I'm willing to go anywhere near is Antonio Gibson, and it all depends on where his ADP ends up now after this news.
Yeah, I don't think we're all that far apart. I had him, I believe, at 33 coming in, so I was a little probably more bullish on him even when AP was there. I've moved him up to 30, so like you, Tags, I don't really think this is some sort of crazy boon to his value. I think he's going to be involved. He's not going to be the primary ball carrier. He just doesn't have that, you know, body size, and he doesn't have that pedigree, but I do think that he is somebody you can draft and probably start weekly as a reliable flex. All right. Too much on the Washington backfield. Let's get into today. We're going to be talking, as I said, about some of our last-minute draft tips. And when we're talking about draft tips, if we were able to include this as one, it would probably be to use the draft assistant. So let me just very quickly tell you about the draft assistant. It syncs live with your draft. So somebody makes a pick, and that updates in the draft assistant so you can see what's going on. If you play in ESPN.com or NFL.com leagues, you can actually draft straight from the draft assistants and make your picks through there. But let's talk about exactly what the draft assistant does. First, it looks just like our draft simulator. So if you've practiced any drafts, which you should have done a ton by now, that's basically what you're going to see, a really sleek interface, easy to use. Second, it's supporting your league, almost guaranteed. As I said, you can do it straight, NFL.com, ESPN.com, but it supports Yahoo, CBS Sports, Sleeper, more, everything. It's going to work with your draft. Third, it's giving you live recommendations like, my pick is up. Who do I take? Well, 68% of the experts say you should take this player. That is like taking experts into a room with you. Fourth, pick predictor. It basically gives you the odds that a player you're thinking about passing on, maybe taking, is he going to be there on my next pick? It gives you the odds whether or not he's going to be there. And fifth, and this is the biggest for me. A lot of sites don't let you import your own rankings. Sometimes if you have your own rankings, you can actually import them. So that's what you'll see in the draft room. But a lot of sites don't. You have to like manually move guys like over and one. It's like a 10-hour process if you want to update your rankings. But if you create a cheat sheet, like we have urged you to do, cheat sheet creator in the Draft Wizard, you can put that into the draft assistant. So you can easily see your own rankings and where people are going and how that works with your own rankings, whatever you want to use. It's really an amazing tool over at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Now, to be fair, only MVP and Hall of Fame subscribers can get the most out of our draft assistant. So if you are one, thank you for your support and thank you for crushing life and your draft. If you are not, we've got a great offer right now. 6 months free of our Hall of Fame package. That is a $65 value. Unlimited access to all our tools, premium features, all of that for 6 months. Go to fantasypros.com/offers. Make a $10 deposit if you are a new user for either Monkey Knife Fight, FanDuel, or DraftKings and enter a contest. And that's it. You get that, right? A $65 value by making a $10 deposit and entering a contest. Again, that's fantasypros.com/offers. Okay, last minute draft tips. Let's start with you. Tags. We got, this is it. This is the big draft weekend. Final one. Go ahead. What's your number one tip?
I really, every single year, I don't know how it needs to be said or if there's a better way to say it. And we're making it number one because I think we all agree on this, is that stop going into your draft with a strategy in mind. So many people message me on Twitter or wherever, and they say, you know, I have the number 7 pick. Who should I be targeting at 7? Then who should I be targeting on the way back around? I'm thinking about this and this and this. Just take the draft as it comes to you. And, you know, people will send me pictures of my overall rankings and they'll say, Tags, this, it says to take this player here. Why should I take him over him? I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't draft off overall rankings. As a matter of fact, I don't like overall rankings. I think they're the worst thing ever because it really takes you out of a draft and it's a very one size fits all approach. I draft off tiers. I want a balanced roster. I don't want to be stacked at running back and have no wide receivers. I don't want to be stacked at wide receiver and have no running backs. I want balance to my roster. And if you're going off an overall sheet, it's almost like being auto drafted, right? Like where it's, you might have 2 quarterbacks by the 7th round because nobody's drafting quarterbacks and it's, you're just going off an overall list. You do not want to do that. You don't want to go in. Does it make sense this year with the way the drafts are falling to go running back in the first 2 rounds? Yeah, it does because there's a lot of wide receivers available in that 3rd through 5th round range. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that you get to pick 9 or 10 and you're looking at Michael Thomas or Devontae Adams at the turn. You're going to take one of those guys. You're not going to pass on those guys to take a running back that's unproven that you're projecting things towards. So go with the flow of your draft. Do not walk in with any strategy. Don't say, I'm going to take this player at this pick, this player, this player. Don't do that.
I love to say play jazz. That's always sort of, you know, when someone says, oh, what should I do here? What should I do here? The answer is always play jazz because that's just how it's going to work. And that is something like, we all get a lot of questions on Twitter. We love answering them. Those questions of like, should I start running back or should I start running back wide receiver or what? Like, it's impossible to know. It always depends on who's there. And people are way too like committed to going one way. So you absolutely early in your draft, late in your draft, anywhere, you've got to be willing to play a little jazz. So I like that one. All right, Yates, what's your first one?
And my first one is plan ahead and have multiple names ready for your next pick. This is the thing that as you look ahead and you know that you're coming onto the clock in 5 picks, right? And you're looking and you have this guy that you absolutely want and you're zeroed in, you know, like say it's Calvin Ridley in the 3rd round. You're like, I'm taking Calvin Ridley here. I'm so looking forward to this. He's going to be my pick. And you just get zeroed in on that. And then Calvin Ridley goes the pick before yours. Yep. And you go, oh, crap. Now what do I do, right? Because so then you spend 10 seconds tilting, right? And especially when you have, you know, like you're reacting to, oh no, I wanted Calvin Ridley there. And especially in like a live draft, you're going to have everyone kind of reacting and talking to you. And then your clock starts to drain down, right? Especially if you're in the 45 second clock, a minute clock, then you're looking and you go, oh no, now you start to panic because you didn't have a plan for who you were going to be targeting if Calvin Ridley went off the board in that instance. So then when you get onto the clock, you end up panicking and you might make a selection with 5 seconds left on the clock. And you go and you look back on it and say, I really didn't want to take him here. I really don't like how my team looks with this player on, you know, on my roster, whatever. So when you are in that situation where you get to 5 picks ahead of when you're going to come onto the clock, you say, okay, I've got these 3 or 4 players, right? The odds of all 3 or 4 of those players going off the board in between those 5 picks, right, is very, very minimal. Plan for the worst case scenario. plan for the fact that Calvin Ridley's going to go off the board in the third round. And then you can say it and you can pivot and say, okay, well, I've got this wide receiver that I'm fine with. He's in the same tier as Ridley in my eyes, in my rankings. I can take him here. So plan ahead and plan for the worst case scenario.
What I always like to say is, you know, whether you actually use your queue or don't use your queue, have more players in your queue than our picks coming up to when you draft. And you don't actually have to use your queue, but have be like, okay, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do. If this happens, this is what I'm going to do. We joked a lot because, you know, we were doing an insiders, you know, our company draft, and there are multiple people, so there are different drafts. And the clock for ours was like 2 minutes, and people, you know, some guys were still using most of their clock. And for me, I don't know, man, I rarely use more than like 25 seconds, right? And a pick. Like, I get it, like a minute 15, but I'm always sort of ready to pivot just in case. And I think that that's pivot. The thing. Pivot. Yeah, right. Exactly. Any, I caught that one. You see, Yates? Yates likes to drop in a couple of Friends references for me to try to stump me, which he did last time. Not this time, buddy. All right. So mine is a little specific to this year. I don't love handcuff running backs, generally speaking. I don't go into it. Number one, you may think you know who the handcuff is, but chances are you really don't. You don't know what the workload is going to be necessarily. But this is the year, above all years, to target the handcuff running backs. We have talked about that. I mean, we've talked about Tony Pollard. We've talked about Chase Edmonds. But the one thing I'll stress is you don't need to target your handcuff. Okay. If you have Zeke, you can get Pollard. That's fine. But you can target other handcuffs. You can draft Zeke and then draft Chase Edmonds or Alexander Mattison or Latavius Murray. You don't need to. You can give yourself a shot at more than one backfield. And this year, more than ever, I think there are two things. Number one, I think the backups are a little clearer. We know it's going to be Tony Pollard. We know it's going to be Chase Edmonds. We know it's going to be Alexander Mattison. We know it's going to be Latavius Murray. There are a lot of very kind of, to me, clear spots where you know that if the starter goes down, the backup is going to get probably a pretty full load. We've also obviously got an unpredictable year with COVID-19. We have absolutely no idea how many of these guys, you know, you may have. And we've talked about it the day of. You may have somebody that winds up testing positive or has been exposed or something like that and is not going to be able to play. So having backup running backs more than ever is a good thing. And for me, and I'm wondering what you guys think about this. In baseball, there was a shortened, they called it summer camp for the second spring training. There are so many injuries going on. I get it's different, especially with pitchers, you know, who need a long time to ramp up. But I'm wondering, I kind of am expecting that we're going to see an uptick in injuries early in the season when guys are finally playing it. You can't play at full game speed in your practices. So for me, I could see a lot more injuries happening early in the season. And so I think particularly having the high-end backups makes sense. Out of curiosity, do you guys think that there's a chance that we're going to see more injuries early in the season given the lack of preseason games and the lack of game speed?
Makes sense. I mean,
yeah, I do.
That's the part you really don't think about. I think that there's going to be a lot more uncertainty around fantasy this year, but that's something I hadn't really built in to say that, yeah, it's possible that. And like, if you go back to the last shortened offseason where they didn't really have much of an offseason with like the strike, that was like one of the highest. I think there were like 3,000-5,000 yard passers that year. So I think defenses are going to struggle a little bit more than offenses, you know, coming into this, especially the teams that are, you know, the defenses that are going through like a defensive a scheme change or something like that. And the offenses like the Chiefs who are walking into a season that have everybody returning. And it's just like, hey, let's have fun. That's why I think Patrick Mahomes can break records.
By the way, continuity, this isn't a specific draft tip, but there are, I don't know, a handful of teams, 7 or 8, that are sort of bringing back everybody the same head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback, top wide receivers, things like that. Those teams are going to have an advantage this year. So the Chiefs, for example, are one of them. The Ravens, things like that. Teams that have a lot of continuity this year, especially early, those teams, my guess is that players from those teams are going to be a little more valuable early in the season. Not an actual tip, but that is something to look at. All right, Tags, let's get to your next one here.
Yeah, I just really wanted to say on Yates's point that plan ahead and have multiple names ready for your next pick. I thought that was genius. That's a tip that I need to get better at myself. We were doing our Fantasy Pros draft, and you know, when everyone has your cheat sheet, like they do with mine, you know, you're like, okay, I have 4 players here. There's only 4 picks in front of me. It's unlikely that all 4 come off. Well, all 4 of them came off. And as Yates said, I did tilt for a full 15 seconds. And then I'm like, who the hell do I want to pick here? And then I end up going for value and I end up hating my team. And that's actually going to lead me into my next tip. If you want a player badly, take him ahead of ADP. Stop looking at ADP and thinking that I just need to take value. Because if you play the value game when you really want someone else, you're going to wind up looking at your team and thinking, you just look at it and you're just not excited when you look at it. And you just know. I had that happen in my home league last year because I went into a draft and I thought Chris Carson, Aaron Jones, or Leonard Fournette, I was going to get them in the third round. Everybody there knew exactly who I wanted, and I got none of them. And I was at like pick six in the third round. So I got none of them. I went on tilt. And at the end of the draft, I just ended up starting taking value where I felt there was value. I had one of the worst years ever. I think I finished like fourth place in my home league last year because I didn't get to draft a team that I liked. So I made the mistake of saying, I'm just going to take value and it's presented. There is a such thing where you do take value, but you have to like your football team. And if you keep taking guys that are just, oh, I didn't really like this guy that much, but he is a value. If you do that at every pick, you're going to hate your roster. So, you know, if you have to reach around to grab the guy that you want, just do it.
Yeah. So I want to ask Tags a question really quick. So with that, does this come into play even more at the turn, right? If you're drafting towards a turn, right? Like, so in a 12 team league and you're at 10, right? And you're looking at, okay, well, I've got pick 10 and then I've got, you know, the next pick after that. And I say, I really want this player and I could maybe get him here at the 14 pick or whatever. But do you, at that instance, you just say, I'm going to take him here at 10 because there is a chance that he goes off the board by 14 and I don't want to play that game.
Exactly. And that's the part that I hate about drafting on the turn is that you have to reach and you're essentially, when you do that too often, you're going to eliminate the equity that you have in the picks, right? Because James Conner was a fourth round pick just a couple weeks ago. All of a sudden he's moving into drafts. And sometimes I see people take him in the middle of the second round. Now I'm like, well, now you're approaching dangerous territory because you've eliminated the equity with him. I understand you want to reach to get him on your team, but reaching to get him there, you're removing that equity. Josh Jacobs, people like Josh Jacobs. I get it. I mean, I understand. I have him ranked as my like number 13 running back, I think. But if people are drafting him at RB7 just because they want him on their team, I think they're going to be disappointed because you're drafting a player to ceiling. That's what you never want. You want to say, if I'm reaching for a player, I need to at least know that the player has a higher ceiling than where I'm drafting him. You just don't want to reach beyond that ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're getting to yours here next. But before we do, 6,985. Apple Podcast reviews. You guys are amazing. Seriously. But that means that our monster giveaway is about to end imminently. Like, we're going to hit 7,000 reviews probably later today or maybe tomorrow. And I will remind you what our monster giveaway is right now, okay? A signed Davante Adams helmet, a $200 gift card for Pristine Auction, a $200 gift card to Porter Road Butcher, a package of fantasy football goods for your league champion and your last place loser from Trophy Smack, and a one-month subscription to Fubo TV. So here's what we're going to do. I am not able to know the exact moment where we cross the 7,000 review threshold. We are also heading into a weekend. So we're going to leave this contest open until Sunday night at 11:59 p.m. You have to enter it by that time. If you're the 7,015th review, but you get it in, enter the contest before Sunday night at 11:59 p.m. Eastern, you will be entered into the contest. Also, do you want a Zoom call with us? Great. If the winner is a subscriber to our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/fantasypros, you also get a Zoom call with the analyst. So to enter, leave a review, head over to fantasypros.com/contest to upload it, and you are good. That is all. I have said it before. I will say it again. Reviews drive the show. They make us do more shows. They provide us with feedback that we use to improve the show. They have our bosses give us a pat on the back and say, good job, Tags and Yates. Thanks for not tanking the show entirely, Dan. A super easy way to support the show. And it really does mean a lot to us. So the fact that we are approaching 7,000 reviews is mind-boggling, honestly. So, you know, honestly, even if you're not going to enter the contest, really, leaving a review helps to support the show. As is subscribing to our YouTube channel, where this morning we surpassed 60,000 subscribers. There's going to be a lot of stuff, such as a live stream that Tags and I are going to be doing on Sunday nights right after the afternoon games. You want instant fantasy analysis? You're going to get it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. And again, leave a review, fantasypros.com/contest to enter by Sunday night at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. All right, Yates, next draft tip. Go ahead.
Yeah, this kind of goes along with yours, Dan, that as far as handcuff running backs, even if they're not your handcuffs, and that's be willing to target the high upside players once you've filled out your starting roster. So a perfect example of this is Latavius Murray versus drafting someone like James White. James White, if he's going to have a role in this Patriots offense, and he could be valuable as like a low-end RB3, maybe low-end RB2 at best, in this Patriots offense in full PPR formats. Okay. But if Sony Michel misses time, if Damian Harris misses time, if, you know, whatever, it doesn't change his role. His role in this offense will remain the same. He's not suddenly going to pick up 10 carries a game or anything ridiculous like that. So when you're drafting James White as a RB4 for your roster, and you're sitting there saying, like, this is the best case scenario that he's going to be is a low-end RB3. I can maybe roll him into my flex in certain weeks. Target, especially this year, target guys like Latavius Murray, Alexander Mattison later on, these guys that are huge high upside plays. And now I believe that Latavius Murray could have some standalone value this year as well. So he could be someone that you roll into your flex on a weekly basis and you'll be fine. You know, he'll get you the points that you need. But if Alvin Kamara misses time, if Alvin Kamara shows up to the stadium on Sunday morning and his COVID test comes back positive, guess what? Latavius Murray is the RB in this backfield and will be in contention for the overall RB1 that week. I absolutely believe that. So to have those kind of upside plays where, yes, he could give you some standalone value, but then the sky is the limit for what he could provide to your fantasy football lineup, that is how you're going to walk out of this season a champion.
So this is interesting, okay? Because I do think that, you know, you do want the high upside players, but you guys know how I'm approaching this year a little differently than I usually do. And I think this is more for your starting roster necessarily, Yates, than your bench. But one of my tips, honestly, is don't be in love with the upside. Don't go crazy with the upside until your bench, really, is where I'm kind of going with it. Because, again, I call them my peanut butter sandwiches, but these are the guys who I feel like, you know what? We've got this weird year right now where you are going to have players who are going to miss time. You are going to have, you know, a lot of uncertainty going around. So having that certain player, the guy who always comes out, who I always talk about, is a guy like Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder is not going to finish the season as a wide receiver one. He may not finish the season as a wide receiver two, though I think he certainly has the potential to, given his target volume. But he is a guy who week in and week out is just going to be there for you. Like, he's a guy who, you know, wherever he's being drafted in the 40s, he's a guy I'm willing to draft as my wide receiver three. That's a guy who I'm like, you know what? I've got my stability here. I've got this type of player. A guy who, you know, may not technically fit the bill because he wasn't great last year, but it's Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller is a guy who we all really like coming into this year. He's a guy who, again, he's not going to finish as a wide receiver one, but he's probably going to be there for you week in and week out. I am willing to roll with those types of guys. For me, more as my wide receiver three. And I know we have this huge group of guys who can fit into the wide receiver three range. We talk about it all the time, right? When you're at that range, how do you want to play it? For me, when I'm getting my starting guy, I'm willing to go a little safer for that side. You can fill your bench with upside, but understand your roster. You know how you want to build it necessarily. I like to build my roster, and I think fantasy managers should too, in a way where you've got more stability in your starting lineup than necessarily explosiveness. I realize I started an article, my quarterback primer, basically being like, I'm boring and risk averse. And that's like my life philosophy as well as my fantasy philosophy. That is how it is as well. So for me, make sure, you know, a guy like James Crowder, again, that's the type of guy I think who you need to be filling the back end of your starting roster with.
Really quick, I want to put this into context. So like Matt Breida and James White are going off the board in ADP consensus right now as the RB33 and RB34. J.K. Dobbins is going off the board as the RB36 right now. So that's outside of your starting roster, right?
That's
where
crazy.
You're not necessarily relying on them. So give me J.K. Dobbins over each of those guys, because Matt Breida's role is not going to change if Jordan Howard misses time. They're going to bring in someone else. He might see, you know, 2 to 3 carries a game in addition. James White, I just talked about him. He's not going to see this huge uptick in carries or anything like that in volume. J.K. Dobbins could become the overall RB1 if Mark Ingram misses time. Then even, I mean, but that's super crazy, because then James White is RB34. Latavius Murray is RB45. Like, that is just insane to me.
Right. No, that's a great point. In that, especially a guy like Breida, who I feel, you know, I kind of talked about in some of my articles. And I didn't mean to bash a guy because I love Matt Breida as a cyborg. Only guy who can be on crutches in the first quarter and scoring touchdowns in the third. But he is a guy who, yeah, man, I mean, if Jordan Howard gets hurt, you know, I don't know. That offensive line is terrible. I don't really know what to expect from that offense. Dobbins is a guy who, if Mark Ingram gets hurt, he really has a chance to completely shine. And he might even if he doesn't get hurt. So, yeah, I agree with you. Some of the running back rankings, I agree, or at least ADP, is strange, especially a guy like Latavius Murray. So that's a good point. All right, Tags, get to your next one.
All right. So my advice, this might sound odd to some people, because the advice you hear around the industry is take a defense or kicker with your final two picks. I've changed my stance on that. Take them with the rounds before that. So if you're in a 16-round draft, take them in rounds 14 and 15. If you're in a 15-round draft, obviously rounds 13, 14. The reason I say that is because a lot of times the last guy that I'm going to get on my bench is a guy that I could draft, you know, with my last pick. While everyone else is taking defenses and kickers at that point, those players are going to stay on the board. So if you do it a round early, you're going to get your selection of defense that you want. You're going to get your selection of kicker. Honestly, and I think of the 17 leagues I'm in, I think two of them still have kickers, and I was willing to spend a 14th round pick on Harrison Butker because I don't want to have to worry about it. I just want to put him in my lineup and just, like, seriously just forget about kickers for the year. And then as for defense, you're able to just find a team with a great week one matchup. Do not spend. It blows my mind every single year people blow picks on like, you know, in the 8th to 10th round on Bears, Jaguars. Now it's going to be the Patriots and the 49ers. I promise you those two teams are not going to be the top defenses in 2020. So you're wasting your pick. I think you're better off looking at the matchups. I think Philadelphia Eagles have a great start to their schedule. I'm ending up with them in a lot of leagues. I think the Broncos are a potentially breakout defense where I think they could actually be really good. So instead of waiting until those final two rounds, grab them in the rounds just before the final round, because then you're going to get your pick of the litter.
Let me ask you something, Tex, because we talk about this a lot. And you just mentioned how you go into your home leagues at the very least, and everybody knows your rankings because, you know, you do 30 podcasts a week and everything like that, and you publish articles. A guy, John Ross, is a guy who you've been taking with your last pick. I mean, we did a mock draft episode, and I took John Ross just because, you know, my second to last pick, just because I knew you were taking him in your last pick. Are there enough guys like that that you say, you know, I know this guy is going to be available? You know, somebody could take John Ross because they listen to you. Are there enough guys like that available that you're willing to bump up the kicker in the defense?
Yeah, there are, sure. Because, like, there's guys like Bryan Edwards that you could take now with Tyrell Williams out. He's one of those final round guys. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been getting a ton of buzz at Packers camp. Like, even Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has never talked up Valdes-Scantling. He's always been like, you know, we're working to get on the same page. And you could see the frustration. But he said that he's been one of the MVPs of training camp. That's obviously a good thing. So, like, you take a shot on a guy like that in week one. And if he doesn't work out, you just drop him. But there's plenty of guys like that you could take a shot on.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be continually talking up anybody who can catch passes, because I think he's just going to be like, I'm going nuts. Anyway, that's just my own private Harris opinion. All right, Yates, go ahead to your next one.
Yeah, I'm going to say throw multiple darts at the tight end position late this year if you miss out on Kittle or Kelsey. So Tags has been talking about all offseason, he's ending up with Kittle or Kelsey like pretty much everywhere. And for me, I haven't really been, just because I've been looking at these guys later on. I like spending those second, third round picks on running backs or these wide receivers. I just like the value in those ranges more. And then I can get the guys like Hayden Hurst, Jonnu Smith, Blake Jarwin later on, right? I've talked about them endlessly, right? So, but the thing here with guys like Jonnu Smith or Blake Jarwin, let's say that you miss out on Hayden Hurst. In the late rounds, double up on that position. Take both Jonnu Smith and Blake Jarwin. Maybe even take like in my home league that I do with a bunch of guys from my church. I walked out of that draft with Hayden Hurst and Jonnu Smith because I was looking at some of the wide receivers and running backs that were available. And I just said, I don't really like what's here. And so these guys that are going on later on in your drafts, like we identified Mark Andrews and Darren Waller as these potential breakouts last year and they hit, right? But for every one that we can identify that has broken out previously, there's been one player that has disappointed. And so I'm not saying that Jonnu Smith is going to be this guaranteed, locked and loaded, let's plug him into our lineup and just forget about it. Like, I really like his potential, but he comes with uncertainties. He hasn't done it before. So kind of safeguard yourself, building this stability on your roster to be able to just throw multiple darts at the position and say, if Jonnu Smith doesn't break out right away, I have another shot at Blake Jarwin breaking out, who I have in my top 12 tight ends this year. So I like his chances. But again, it's not a certainty. So if you miss out on a Kittle or Kelsey, I am throwing multiple darts at the position this year more than ever before.
First of all, I hope that we can bookmark this episode where Yates said something negative about Jonnu Smith, because this is the first time I've ever heard it. Second, I want to co-sign this, but I want to then ask Tags a specific question. For me, with tight end, I completely agree that for me, Kelsey and Kittle are second round picks. I will take them if they are at the right spot in the second round. I have not drafted Darren Waller or Mark Andrews or Zach Ertz anywhere. I try to get Hayden Hurst. If I'm in a home league, I'm probably getting Hayden Hurst. If I'm in an analyst league, I'm probably not, because he's been moving up the board. But I'm just going to go through very quickly number 13 through 21 in my tight end rankings. T.J. Hockenson, Dallas Goedert, Blake Jarwin, Mike Gesicki, Jonnu Smith, Chris Herndon, Noah Fant, Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle. Each of those guys has an absolute chance to be a tight end one this year and provide weekly value if everything kind of breaks right. So when I do not get Kelce or Kittle, I am completely with you, Yates. I am waiting as long as possible at tight end. And then I like to double up, especially, by the way, a guy like Goddard. He's one of the guys who I always like to have as one of my double ups if I can, because I do think Goddard offers the benefit of, A, you've got the injuries already to the Eagles pass catchers. We saw what he could do last year when that happens. And B, this thing where if Zach Ertz were to get injured, he's immediately a top five tight end, right? So he's one of the guys who I like to go. But I want to ask Tags about that because I have seen you, Tags, ending up with Darren Waller and Zach Ertz a little bit more. So I have not been getting those guys anywhere. What do you do at tight end, generally speaking, Tex?
I am 100% a value player at tight end. And again, Kelce and Kittle, if I get them at the end of the mid, like I will say once you get around that 20th pick, that's when I'm like, if they're still there, I'm probably going to take them because it means the running backs are gone. The top tier wide receivers are gone. I would choose one of those guys over someone like Chris Godwin and maybe DeAndre Hopkins too. It just eliminates so many question marks from your weekly lineup. But once you fall out of that tier, I haven't wound up with Mark Andrews at all, oddly enough. I mean, I like Mark Andrews, but I think Zach Ertz is the safer play, and he's falling into the fourth, sometimes fifth round of drafts. I think that's crazy for a guy that legitimately led tight ends and targets last year. He was first or second. It was like 135 or 137 targets. Knowing that Alshon Jeffery is not going to be playing, knowing that Jalen Reagor is now going to miss a couple weeks, DeSean Jackson's 34 years old, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's not very good. So you know, there's a lot of reasons that I like Zach Ertz a whole lot, and that's why I talked about him on the must-have players yesterday. But Darren Waller is a guy that people are forgetting about. And again, this is like people are projecting rookies like Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs, and they love Hunter Renfrow. Well, these guys were all there last year. Lynn Bowden, obviously a new guy. It's all projections, but all we have to go off of is what we've actually seen the Raiders do the last couple seasons. And that was Jared Cook getting over 100 targets. That was Darren Waller getting over 110 targets last year. Even if we dial Darren Waller back to 90 targets, which is quite the decrease from what he saw last year, he is still going to be a top eight fantasy tight end. So I feel like that's the last tier break, because from there you have to start projecting, because I love Hayden Hurst, but you have to project him into this offense. I like Tyler Higbee. You have to project him into this offense so much. So I just don't want to, I'm not going to invest in anybody after Darren Waller. After that, I'm going to kind of play the value game, but it's like there are clear tiers at the tight end position, and I'll take value when it's presented there.
Do you draft a backup tight end Tags when you're drafting a Darren Waller or a Zach Ertz?
No, not when I draft those guys. They're set it and forget it. And that's why I find value in Darren Waller, because if I get Hayden Hurst, I might find myself drafting like a Blake Jarwin at the end, just to say I'm giving myself two outs here in case something doesn't work out with Hayden Hurst, because week one, they're going up against Seattle. And I know that Seattle was terrible against tight ends last year, but they did add Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams is one of the best cover safeties out there. So,
right. Oh, really? I had no idea.
Oh, that's right. You're a Jets fan. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. This is going to be a great year. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. No, it's all good.
It's funny because Hayden Hurst is not a guy. Hayden Hurst is above the line for me. And, you know, I think it's fair to say maybe he shouldn't be. Hayden Hurst, for me, is a guy who, if I take him, I'm just confident. I'm just confident that he is going to be able to be my set it and forget it guy, and I'm not going to need to worry about it. So I haven't really been necessarily thinking, man, I've got to make sure that I get somebody to back him up. Jonnu Smith, absolutely. It's a guy who...
Hurst is probably that line for me. Hurst is probably where I say I set it and forget it, and I'll just roll
with it. You have him as tight end like two, right?
I have him at six. I did move Waller up with the Tyrell Williams. So Waller's at five.
Okay. Thank you for some sanity check. I've Hurst at seven, so we're not far off. But yeah, Hurst, again, that is the line for me, I believe. After that, I get a little nervous. And again, in a normal year, I'm not drafting a backup tight end, like never. But this is a year where I am waiting as long as humanly possible. And then when I do, I'm getting a second one because I think one of the two are going to hit. All right, before we get to my next tip, let me tell you about the future of fantasy sports. With Superdraft. Superdraft has this exclusive game mode. It's called Multiplier. It is awesome. You know how you think of DFS, right? And you think of a salary cap. Let me build my best lineup within the budget that I have. Superdraft has their new Multiplier game, and it's a completely different way of doing things. You create a lineup by selecting players within a draft group, and each group is assigned a multiplier based on their value. So let's say Christian McCaffrey scored 20 points. If he has a 1.5 multiplier, you would get 30 fantasy points. If he has a 2 multiplier, you get 40 points. So you can draft players from anywhere you want within the multiplier groups that they're in and build your own dream team using whatever strategy you think is going to maximize your profits. It's just a completely different way of doing it than normal salary cap DFS. Superdraft offers contests for all the major sports. You can enjoy the best of DFS all year round. Sign up for it today. Use the promo code FANTASYPROS and claim your 50% first-time deposit bonus where you can earn up to $500. You can either download it in the App Store, play it at superdraft.io with the promo code FANTASYPROS. Superdraft, no limits, just more winning. All right, let's get to my next one here. It's kind of simple, and it's kind of one I employ most years, this year more than ever, and it's fade injuries. And I get that sometimes when you have injured players in, you know, the preseason, we don't have a technical preseason, that there's, you know, this could create a buying opportunity, right? There's a discount necessarily when people are like, oh boy, I'm scared off, and you can get there. This year, and this has kind of been a theme for all of my draft tips, all of my draft prep sessions, it's be concerned about your availability on your rosters. You're probably going to have, if you're in a league with a smart commissioner, you've got some IR spots. You've probably got some extra bench spots. They're still going to be precious, okay? Do not get completely fooled by the fact that the NFL protocol is working really well right now, and we've had very few, if any, positive tests with COVID-19. That's just the way it is. There are almost certainly going to be this. There are almost certainly going to be guys who are scratched. Again, I think there are going to be a lot more injuries early in the season, given the lack of preseason games. So for me, I'm not going after Deebo Samuel. Like, I have him a place in my rankings where I'm not going to get him because that's not something where I want to take a chance. I get it. He could, if he's fine, if he's good to go by week one, he's going to be great. But if he can't, then, you know, he could end up on the pup list even. I mean, we don't know necessarily. I'm probably not drafting Brandon Ayuk, even though he looks okay. I'm probably not drafting Alshon Jeffrey. This is not the year, in my opinion, to take the shot on injury guys. Now, somebody like Alvin Kamara might be a little different, you know, because the epidural.
I'm going to disagree. I'm jumping in right there, because if you're saying Kamara, it's different, it can't be. And the reason I say that is because that's the most important part of your draft. Like, that's the part you cannot miss, because if you miss on your first or second round pick, it's going to haunt you your entire season. Whereas if you take someone like AJ Green, who's been arguably, I want to say elite when he's been on the field, you're getting him in the sixth or seventh round. It's not going to crush you if he doesn't pan out.
Right. That's fair. But Tags, out of curiosity, look, we're not doctors. I mean, everything about...
You speak for yourself, Woody.
Are you a doctor?
No.
I really should have known that. That is just failure as part of my podcast.
Wish I could see the YouTube channel right now, because I'm sure Dan is losing it.
Go watch. YouTube.com/FantasyPros. I got very upset with myself for not realizing Tags was an MD. I completely agree with you. Out of curiosity, okay. First, where is Kamara in your rankings now?
I've dropped him. He's number 6, but I don't even know if I'd take him there, to be honest with you. I'm worried.
How about you, Yates?
He's still at 4. I'm not
worried.
Yeah,
he's still at 4 for me, too. Look, here's the deal, Tags. We were joking about it because Tags and I, because we're both incredibly athletic and played professional sports in our spare time, we've had back injuries. And we were talking about epidurals. And, you know, you heard the word epidural. But my understanding, again... from everything I've read, is that this wasn't like an actual epidural. It was some tags.
If it's a cortisone shot, it still represents that there's an issue in his back, and that's something that could actually pop back up, because I've gone for cortisone shots as well.
Yeah, so have I. All right, professional MD.
That's what I'm saying, is just that it could pop back up, and it's just adding additional risk on top of the fact that he doesn't have a contract.
Here's what I'm curious about, though, is like, how often does this sort of stuff happen behind the scenes that we just don't get told about? Like, as far as epidurals, like, as far as from a team doctor, like, how often does this stuff happen? And with Kamara, it just leaked, right? It just came out because there was so much else going on with his contract and him missing practice and all that, that it just came out. So, like, how often does this stuff actually happen with NFL running backs? And it's just not a big deal.
Right. So I guess it's a fair point to let me clarify, because maybe you're like, oh my God, Dan just said to fade injuries, and then you said draft Alvin Kamara at 4. That's fair. And by the way, if you want to drop the first round, especially, it is a very good point. You cannot win your draft in your first round. You can lose it. And so you're like, God, this guy had a shot in his back. Why am I really going to take him at 4? For me, what I mean by fade injuries is Deebo Samuel had, the Jones fracture, yeah. And that's like a 10 to 16 week sort of thing. Soft tissue injuries where you're like, this guy is not practicing right now, or he's been missing time. as far as I know, unless I misread it, Kamara hasn't actually missed time from the injury. Like he was, you know, whether or not there was contract stuff. So he's been practicing normally other than that. So for that, I agree. These guys, I mean, the amount of damage your body takes in a football game is just mind-boggling. I play like a two-on-two touch game, you know, with like my friends and I'm out for a week. You know, the fact that these guys are able to suit up like this is incredible. So I agree with Yates that I do think that this is the sort of thing that probably pops up a little more. So for me, I'm not downgrading him. But other than that, when a guy has missed time, when you have something where Deebo Samuel is really the great example, right? He's got a lot of upside if he's healthy, especially, you know, with everything that's going on with that receiving core. But a Jones fracture is notoriously tricky. I mean, you can miss, obviously, as we saw last year, you can miss the entire season, whether or not it's a 10 to 16 week sort of thing. So for me, that's the type of thing where I'm fading because I'm not willing to take my shot there with that. Guy like Kamara, again, a little different for me because I don't think necessarily that that's something where the injury is really been a concern.
Yeah, it all depends on looking at that player and saying, like, what are the percentage chances that he actually, like, contributes in a huge way for my roster this season, right? And so looking at Deebo Samuel, him coming back from this significant injury, like, what is the percentage chance that we can put on Deebo Samuel to say he'll bounce back and he'll be fine for week one and, like, you know, or, and this is why people were talking about Josh Gordon yesterday with him potentially coming back, him being signed by the Seahawks, he still has to be reinstated. It's like, okay, well, yeah, Josh Gordon could potentially be good for fantasy football, but like what is the percentage chance that that's actually going to happen, right? Like, is it worth the headache of rostering him this year and dealing with that? Or should you just look elsewhere and say, like, okay, well, I'll deal with someone else who doesn't come with a potential headache?
Yeah, and Deebo Samuel, for what it's worth, he was a guy that came with risk already anyway. I mean, he had 81 targets last year. There was nobody on the roster. Brandon Ayuk's obviously better than whatever they had last year. And this is a team that doesn't throw a whole lot. And he was due for regression in terms of yards after the catch and all that stuff. So there was already risk with him. So I'm with you on that one.
I think the question comes into with AJ Green. And I know we're spending a little bit more time on this than we probably should.
That's
but
okay,
like,
that's okay.
AJ Green, like, for me personally, I'm off AJ Green this year. I don't want to deal with the percentage chance that he comes back and contributes at a high end, you know, or high level after a year. I mean, he didn't play at all last year. And then he only played 9 games in 2018. So like, are we saying that the percentage chance that AJ Green actually comes back is worth the selection of him? And I know that you've talked about the ADP tags and it's priced fairly, like it's fine, but yet he's not going as a top 15 wide receiver or anything like that. But yet, what is the percentage chance that he actually comes back? And is that worth dealing with the percentage chance that he deals with this nagging injury that he's been dealing with all training camp? And that carries on into the season. That's why he's just off my board. I don't have AJ Green anywhere.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, Green is a guy, you know, I think it was almost that he was undervalued coming in. So I haven't moved him down that much off my board. But again, I have zero shares of him. So I think when push comes to shove and he's in that same exact tier as somebody else who I'm drafting, I do find myself, again, anybody who's been suffering with an injury throughout this camp and has had to miss time, it's somebody who I'm kind of fading a little bit. All right, one more. Unless you want to jump in there, Tags, we did mention AJ Green. I know you're fired up.
I just want to say that if AJ Green goes off, I just want AJ, can someone that knows AJ Green, please just reach out and say, hey, you need to talk with Tags in the pod because he's your number one fan. We need to get AJ Green in the podcast if that all works out. But my last tip that I have for you guys is another one that I don't think the industry would agree upon, but I'm okay with drafting two quarterbacks. You grab one stability quarterback, like if you want to grab like a Matthew Stafford, a Drew Brees, or a Tom Brady. Carson Wentz falls in that category, and then you grab another one that could potentially win your league. You know, we're talking about the guys like Cam Newton, guys like, I like Joe Burrow as a potential breakout candidate, even though he is a rookie. Daniel Jones, a lot of people like him. But if you were to do that the last couple of years, you could have wound up with Patrick Mahomes, who was considered an upside quarterback. You know, he was taken well outside the top, you know, 10 rounds in drafts that year, Lamar Jackson last year. So it's like, you could just grab someone, stick them on your bench. Obviously, if you play in a league with only 5 bench spots, it's really difficult to do that. But most leagues this year, they have extended their benches to allow for more. So grab one stable quarterback and then grab an upside one with the other. And if you cut them, who gives a crap because you spent a late round pick on them?
So I guess I'm going to ask the same question that I asked Yates about tight end. Is there a line for you? I assume you don't end up with Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson pretty much ever, right?
Correct. Because it's weird.
So if you did, I assume you then would be like, I'm set. I don't need the backup quarterback necessarily here, right?
Yep.
Is there a line for you with quarterbacks? And again, my guess is, right, we all wait on quarterbacks when we can. Among all of us, I'm probably the guy who's willing to do it. I don't know about you. I am Dak Prescott is my number three. Mm-hmm. Sixth round is where I'm willing to take
him. Yep.
That is where I think Prescott sort of draws the line between being a little bit of a tier for me above the rest, guys like Watson and Murray and Wilson, and where I'm willing to take him in the sixth. So I have gotten him there because people are waiting on QB. But Tags, I assume you're really waiting late.
Yeah,
right?
I think Dak and Russell Wilson are two guys that I'd probably use set it and forget it most weeks too. Where if you draft one of those guys, I'm probably okay with it. There's a lot of projecting going on there. He could finish as the QB one for sure. Yeah. But there's a lot of projecting, and he was not consistent at all last year. Deshaun Watson, first year without DeAndre Hopkins. I think Watson's going to be startable most of the time, but because that's the state of that defense, it's going to have him dropping back. It's going to scrambling.
I think Watson's going to be running more.
Yeah,
than ever.
I agree, and that's why I think Watson over Murray in picks and drafts makes sense. But that's kind of like the tier line. Matt Ryan, I guess, is a guy that you could play most of the time, but it's not sexy. He kind of fits in that same tier with Carson Wentz, and you can get Wentz usually like three or four rounds later.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And yeah, I agree with you, by the way, on Watson. I think we all do. I think he is. I actually am as my fourth ranked quarterback. I basically have him and Wilson switched with most people because I do think that Watson is going to make up for the lack of DeAndre Hopkins.
Seattle's
going to
let Russ cook. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, is he? Yeah. Is he going to be unlimited this year?
Mr. Or unlimited.
You know what I think they're going to do? I think they're going to try to run it on first down and then run it on second down.
And then have Russ bail him out.
And then let Russ bail him out at this entirely new offensive system that is exactly the same as they've run forever. That's what it is.
We're trying out something new this year.
Yeah, we're going to try it out right now. We're actually just going to run three straight times, and then we're just not even going to let Russell Wilson throw the ball. Russell Wilson's pass attempts will be 10 a game going forward, but whatever. All right. Very good. There's your 10 draft tips as we head into the final draft weekend. Guys, are you ready for our listener league draft tonight?
So ready. So ready to be sniped a million times by Yates.
Yep.
Yates, we randomly drew the draft order. It's 14-team league. Yates and Tags are back-to-back. That is going to be a lot of fun in our private chat when they just scream at each other nonstop, which is basically all they do. All right, guys. Football, less than a week away from today. Thank goodness. It's going to be exciting. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more news. Nothing broke while we were on this podcast, so I'm very happy about that. Guys, don't forget to use our draft assistant. Seriously, do not draft without it. FantasyBros.com/draftwizard. We all use it. Like, that's not, and we know what we're doing, and we feel very confident in our ranks, and we still use it because it is just great to have there with you to make sure you don't miss anything. Go to FantasyBros.com/offers. Get a 6-month subscription to our Hall of Fame package free when you sign up and make a $10 deposit with either Monkey Knife Fight, FanDuel, or DraftKings, and you enter a contest. Also, thank you to SuperDraft. Their new multiplier game is killer. It adds a whole new strategy dimension to your standard DFS lineups. Sign up using our promo code FANTASYPROS to claim a 50% first-time deposit bonus where you can earn up to $500. That's SuperDraft either in your app store or at superdraft.io. Again, promo code FANTASYPROS. Enjoy your last weekend without NFL football for like a billion weeks. Tags, Yates, and I are going to sleep late this weekend, and we will wish our wives and our children well for the next 6 months. We will talk to you again on Monday. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when you're poolside, kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand, and stirring up trouble. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.